Frank Balcastro was trying to talk me into going to work for the Signal Corps. But that was a possibility that I could be up with the Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the Signal Corps. Now, mind you, I had no college. So I went to the Signal Corps, and to come home weekends. That's funny. And once a month, my grandmother was 84 years old. She died when she was 84, shortly after I went to work in the Signal Corps. But once a month, on a Sunday, I had to go to see her. She was living with my aunt of mine. And she was crazy about my wife. And Saturday night, when I see my wife, I'd meet her by after work. Mm-hmm. We'd go out and be out late. So she didn't get much sleep that night. You know, we were engaged. And we'd bring my grandmother, and she had to be hospitable. We had some cookies and a glass of wine. And so she'd find my wife fall asleep. My grandmother would look around, and she'd say to me, "Oh, the poor girl. She must work so hard." And that has always been our big joke ever since we've been married. That poor girl, she worked so hard. She was half asleep when we got there, and the wine finished her off. So we had a lot of in-jokes in our life. Well, anyway, and so I went to the Signal Corps, and I had worked one of my jobs. I worked the Interline Corporation of America, and they manufactured electronic parts, plugs, switches, sockets, electrical hardware. I was a shipping clerk there. I learned to be a shipping clerk. And lunchtime, after I ate lunch, I used to be very sleepy. And I used to stretch out on a pile of cardboard cartons and nap. And the head shipping clerk used to wake me up after that and go back to work. I learned to root stuff. I had such all kinds of experience.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was assigned to the procurement section. Why? Because I'd once worked for a company, Interline Corporation of America, where I was a shipping clerk and was shipping stuff out. I knew something about commerce and so forth. When I heard that, I flipped. So I went to the branch chief and I said, "Look, I didn't come to the Signal Corps to work in procurement. I came to the Signal Corps to work in the laboratory. If I had to work in procurement, I think I'm going to have to leave." Now, I didn't want to do that. It doesn't mean that you're going to get out of a job and you're telling the boss what you want to do. But he was sympathetic, and he assigned me to an engineer. Aldo Scandura, his name was. And we had something in common. We both liked to dance. And he was a graduate of City College, and he was a sharp cookie. I learned a lot from that guy. Also, he learned that I knew an awful lot also.
Mm-hmm.
And we were shorthanded of engineers, so he began to give me engineering assignments. Now, we were in civil service, and also I started to go to Monmouth Junior College to take some courses, descriptive geometry and so forth. Because here's another thing. After I was married, I got used to going to bed later,
mm-hmm,
so I could go to school. Okay? And, and so after a couple of years, I had accumulated some college credits, and I had 2 years of engineering experience. And also, I had worked in some places in the industry. Like, I worked for a company called TransUser Corporation of America. You heard of the Bank of America?
Mm-hmm.
You heard of Giannini? Okay, well, one of the Giannini clan owned this TransUser Company of America, and they manufactured a dynamic microphone called a bullet microphone. And I did a lot of testing there and so forth. So that was not just plain technician work. I mean, they had to know something.
Right.
So in civil service, you qualify for a rating on the basis of your experience. But by the time you took into account the courses I took in Monmouth Junior College, and the 2 years doing engineering work. Incidentally, I had a technician's grade, and they assigned a PhD to me. Julia Herrick. She was a biophysicist from the Mayo Clinic. This is a story in itself. I was a fish out of water, but a smart woman. But she had a lot of mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they assigned it to me, because she was able to reinforce what I didn't know. Because I had been to college. And I started to work on cavity resonators. What the hell did I know about cavity resonators? I mean, I had the feel, but not the mathematics. So between the two of us, we managed to figure things out. And digress for a minute. I once, she came from a Minneapolis banking family. There were three children, two sons, and she was the daughter. When the father died, he left control of the bank to her because he trusted her common sense more than his son's. So she kept them on a long leash. She was really, she was a smart gal. And she was a woman in her late 40s, I would say, prematurely gray. Very, very, very good-looking woman. Very appealing woman. Very easy woman to get along with. Mm-hmm. She had the common touch. I once had a Thanksgiving party at our house, and we invited her, and we played charades, and her turn to act out something. We had an artificial flower. She took the hand, lay down on the floor, with her eyes closed, facing the ceiling. And what was she doing? Masses in the cold, cold ground. Mm-hmm. So, okay. I mean, she was regular. Well, anyway, she decided she was not going to go back to biophysics. And she began to study engineering. And she was the first editor who joined the IEEE, IRE, and became the first editor to the Medical Electronics Professional Group, Julia Herrick. Okay. So if you look back in history, you'll find her there. But here she was a PhD, and I was just a technician. Well, anyway, I was due for a promotion, and I was going to be promoted to the highest technician's grade. And when my boss recommended me to his boss, so he said, well, that's a good promotion, Gus. And what? He said, well, why don't we move him over the line into the engineering series? And that's how I moved over to the engineering series. If it hadn't been the war, I'd have still been a technician.
Mm-hmm.